When I was in seminary, I was taking a class, and one of the professors was talking about preaching in that class. And one of the things that he said to us was, there are certain feast days that you won't want to prepare a homily for. You won't want to talk about things like the inner working of the Trinity. So Trinity Sunday is horrible to preach. He said there are other feast days where the readings are so complicated, particularly from John's gospel, you won't want to work on homilies for those. But he said some feast days are going to be very easy to preach. Christmas, Easter, things like that. Well, in my years of being a priest, I have actually found it to be a little bit the opposite. It always seems, at least for me, to be very hard to think about what to preach on Christmas and Easter, because everybody knows why they're here. What is it that I can say that bring any more light to the reason why we're here? As I was thinking about that, I realized that yes, we know why we're here, but there are many people in this world who don't know. And yes, it can be difficult to preach to all of you who know why we're here. We're celebrating the resurrection of Christ. What an amazing feast day, what an amazing moment in our lives throughout the whole year. But how many people in the world today no longer know Christ? And how many people would find it to be beyond odd that we would come here after dark, starting outside at a fire, processing in, sitting in a church that's mostly dark for quite a while, listening to readings from the Old Testament that would seem to have very little impact on our own lives? How many people in the world look at this as not making sense? But you know, it also didn't make a lot of sense to Jesus' first disciples either. They were confused by what had happened, shocked by Jesus' suffering and his death, fearful but amazed at his resurrection. There were a lot of things that didn't quite make sense to them as Jesus' resurrection became known to them. Jesus gave this strange and unusual command to those who encountered him first when he was raised from the dead. He said, go tell my brothers that I'm going to Galilee. Now, isn't that strange? Wouldn't you think that Jesus would have said, go get him right now. Let's go back to that upper room where we just were, just mere hours ago, celebrating the Last Supper, the Passover. Let's just meet there real quick. Let's get them to know right away that I'm raised from the dead. No, he said, tell them to go to Galilee. I'm going to meet them there. Why would he say that? Is there something special about Galilee? Is there something that makes it more holy or unique than Jerusalem? I don't think so. Except for this. What happened in Galilee between Jesus and his disciples is of incredible importance. If you were to travel to Galilee today, you would see a Galilee that is not all that different than it would have been in our Lord's time. It's nestled along the shores of the Jordan River. It's a hilly country, but it's incredibly fertile, green, beautiful, lush. It's a marked contrast from the rocky deserts that surround Jerusalem. As one drives today through Galilee, you'll see field after field with an incredible variety of fruits and vegetables, a seeming abundance of fertility, growth. Why would Jesus want to meet them there? Because of this special time that he spent with them in Galilee. It wasn't in the midst of the busyness of being in the big city of Jerusalem. It was the quiet, subtle, daily interaction where the disciples began to know who Jesus is. Not just what he would do for them, not just the prophecy of him having to suffer and die and rise from the dead, but also him as a person. I imagine that Jesus gave them the message to meet him in the Galilee because he wanted them to encounter him as a person raised from the dead. Not an object of prophecy, not a spectacular, wondrous amazement, but the person of Jesus. The world does not understand what we are doing this evening because the world does not know Christ. Now, sure, many in the world know the story of Christ, know the prophecies of the Old Testament, perhaps, know the story of Christ's incarnation, his life, his suffering, his death, and resurrection. But if it remains merely a story on the page of a book, then it does not have the power to change our life. Instead, it isn't just knowing about Jesus, but it's knowing Jesus. It's knowing him. Through our Lenten journey, we've reflected on various passages from Scripture about Jesus' time spent in the desert and temptation, his time raising Lazarus from the dead, the woman at the well, the triumphal entry to Jerusalem, the Last Supper, the way of the cross, the beatings and scourges, the suffering and death. And tonight, we come to that glorious moment of his triumphal resurrection. But maybe just maybe, we're also hearing Jesus say those words to us, "Come to Galilee with me." That the Lenten disciplines that we've taken on, the extra time in prayer, fasting, almsgiving, cannot be the end, nor can it be its own purpose, but instead have brought us to encounter Christ. And now, in his resurrection, he's saying, "Encounter me again. Come to Galilee with me. Draw near. Know me as a person." This great feast of Easter is a feast day where everyone knows why they come to church, to celebrate Christ's resurrection from the dead. But it's of incredible importance that we not just know why we come here tonight, but who we come for and who we encounter. That we can't just know about the story of Jesus, but we must know Jesus, to know him. Listen to him this evening, beckoning you to come with him to Galilee, to spend time with him and to know him.